on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
I just watched my book rise and rise and rise in the charts, and I watched my royalties go up. And then I was in the Movers and Shakers thing, and at one point I was selling more than Prince Harry at Coronation Weekend, which is like a little thing. But I've got a screenshot just because I was like, yes.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers, no more barriers, no one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome to The Self-Publishing Show with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
A few technicals today, but I can see you, I can hear you, so let's just crack on with this one. We have a good interview today, Mark, with Rosa Lee. You're drinking a cup of tea as well, aren't you?
I'm drinking some coffee, yes.
Oh, that's not, I don't know what coffee is in Cockney rhyming slang, but that is where her name comes from. She's from London originally. Rosie Lee, obviously, is Cockney rhyming slang for tea, but she went with Rosa Lee. She writes dark romance, sort of billionaire, why choose? You're not why choosers.
Nope, I have no idea. It's not my genre.
Why choose? Everything. Why choose is the new reverse harem. Because
oh, I see. Okay.
A certain Chinese-owned social media platform doesn't allow you to say reverse harem anymore. So now they say why choose until TikTok decides you can't say why choose, and it'll be something else like I can't believe it's not reverse harem, which is what they should have called it the first time.
Yeah.
Anyway, a very good interview coming up with Rosa. She has just done Rare in London. I really wish I could have got there. I had lots of authors at the big signing event in London at the Excel Centre, romance authors. A couple of thousand readers were there as well, but I was just too busy to get down there, too busy going to Wimbledon and Formula One meetings. But apparently it was amazing, and Caroline and Suzanne had a snaking queue, apparently. Rosa was saying from their table, but we'd expect that. But Rosa writes in very much the same wheelhouse, actually, as Caroline Peckham and Suzanne Valenti, who've been on the show before, and like them, has seen tremendous success boosted by TikTok. TikTok has been the key driver for her sales, and she's done very well, hit number 72 in the store not that long ago. Okay, sorry, you haven't said a thing. You want to say, Mark Dawson, would you like to speak?
I do, yes. So we've actually got some patrons.
Yes.
So Catherine has just a few minutes ago reminded us we have some patrons. So Barb Reimer, Ryan Z from Plotter, who we know, and Mike Judd, who didn't Mike Judd, isn't he responsible for Beavis and Butthead? I can't remember.
Judge, must be Judge, maybe.
Judge, that's right, Mike Judge. Yes, it's obviously a different...
There was a Judd who was a Blue Peter presenter. It might be Leslie Judd's grandson.
Who knows? We don't have addresses for the three of them, but we do have thanks for them for supporting the show at Patreon, which is we're very grateful for them helping us as we approach nearly 400 episodes. This is 391, I think. So in about 2 months, then we'll hit 400, which is it's pretty good, really.
It is pretty good, yes. And you can join the Patreons by becoming a part of the show at patreon.com/self-publishing show.
Forward slashing.
I did do an interview about pirate romance this morning. We got very into swashbuckling and slashing.
That, or you need to get the toilet. I'm not sure.
That's something else that TikTok doesn't like in romance. Anyway.
Okay, thank you. Lovely.
We were just queuing Rosa. So here she is. Let's hear from Rosa Lee. Then Mark and I will be back for a chat at the end.
This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Rosa Lee, welcome to The Self-Publishing Show. Great to have you here. We're going to be talking romance, dark romance, I think, probably, is your genre. And we're going to hear a bit about yourself. But I think just to start off, you've been at Rare, which was the romance signing, big signing in London. I mean, it moves around the planet, but it was in London last week. What was that like?
It was crazy. It was super busy. There were lots and lots of readers. And it was, the vibe was amazing. It was a huge place. It was in Excel. It was a huge hall. So there was lots of space. It didn't feel jam packed. But when I looked, I was in sort of the second row. And when I looked behind me, and you've got authors like Anna Hyung, Caroline and Suzanne, Katie Knight, Jay Bree, and they had just crazy, crazy queues and people ticketed. I think like some readers came up to me and they were like number 500, 600 in the queue waiting to see these authors. And that was amazing.
But you had a fair number of of readers come to see you, I hope.
I did. I had some small queues at some point and it was quite nice. There was a nice mix of meeting some new readers who would just come up and be like, I've never read your stuff, but your covers drew me in, which is always good. So you know the covers are working.
Yes.
And then the trickiest thing is they ask you to explain your books and you're there like, okay, cool. I've got this. I've got the tropes in my head. I just need to make it sound good without waffling a bit.
I did see someone tweeted yesterday saying, I'm an author. Ask me anything you want. Someone asked, what's your book about? You could ask me anything except that. Because none of us can explain
really
that.
Hard. No, it's really tricky to say it in quite a succinct way.
Well, look, talking of queues, I'm going to glance that way occasionally because I'm 618,966 in the queue for Taylor Swift tickets at the moment. And I have to...
Wow.
So that's exciting. I'm only 22 hours away, I think, from getting to the front of that queue. And there are only, as far as I can work out, this is Paris, there are only 140,000 tickets. So I don't know how this works. But anyway,
wow.
I've got a daughter in Australia who's going to unleash nuclear Armageddon if I don't get them. So I'm trying that. Okay,
amazing.
Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your writing. You got into this fairly recently, Rosa, didn't you?
Yes. So I started writing, like many others, actually, that I've met since. Not quite during lockdown, but sort of lockdown year. So I think, and I'm not sure how I know this, but I think it was the 12th of December, 2020, because I think I once looked at the document because I was using Google Docs and it told me, and that's stuck in my head. So, yeah, so I started writing then, and it was kind of after my third was born, my little girl, and my usual work of making costumes was dead because no one was doing anything. There were no films, there was no museums open, no reenactment. And I just kind of wanted something else to do. And I was an avid reader and chatted to some authors and they were like, start writing. So I did.
You're a costume designer.
Well, so I'm a costume maker. So I specialize, I guess I still do, although I haven't done it for a year or so. I specialize in making historically accurate linen garments. Is the technical phrase. So shirts, ruffs, I've done some films. I did last year was the last job I did, and that was Firebrand, which was a film with Jude Law. So I made all Jude Law's shirts.
Wow, that sounds great. So basically, whenever the BBC do a costume drama on a Jane Austen or Dickens, you're in.
Sometimes I don't know if I've done any BBC. I've worked with one particular designer. So he did things like The Duchess, Tulip Fever. I wasn't in The Duchess, but I was in Tulip Fever with him. And he always gives me really fun people. I never get to meet them, but then when they're on the screen, I'm like, oh, I made that.
That's
so
amazing.
That's quite fun.
What a cool thing to have done. But lockdown was not great for that, obviously. And you started writing and you went into, I mean, this is what you read, presumably kind of dark romance.
Yes. So people tease me about it a little because I only read YQs, reverse harem, whatever you want to call it. And it pretty much solely just read dark. So I'm really thick in that genre of reading it all the time. And that's kind of what sparked off the ideas to start writing.
Well, that is one of the things they say, isn't it, about reading into genre. It sounds like you're mired in the middle of it. You mentioned Caroline and Suzanne. Of course, you're in the same wheelhouse as them.
Yes, and I've been lucky to meet them a couple of times and they're lovely and they've offered quite a lot of advice. And we're similar kind of genres. So it's nice to sort of see where they are and see sort of where I could be and what they're doing and stuff like that. It's quite helpful.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about TikTok in a moment, which has been an important part of life, I think, for both Caroline Suzanne and yourself. Your book covers, I want to talk about that as well because people can look them up, but they, again, a bit like Caroline and Suzanne's, and that, I don't remember, maybe I just wasn't watching, but 5 years ago, I don't remember a lot of covers like that. They tended to have more characters on the front, but yours is, and Caroline and Suzanne's, I keep mentioning them because you are very similar genre, have these very distinct, at a glance, now you've almost created this, at a glance, this is dark romance, likely set in a school or something like that.
Yes, yeah. And actually, I was really lucky with my with my debut series, the Highgate series, because I had no idea. And I just contacted this cover designer who I really loved her work. And she was the one that suggested the hands, because I said, oh, I think sort of discreet covers like without people on are becoming quite popular, because I've been reading those books and seeing that that kind of cover was becoming a bit more prevalent. And she suggested it, and she did an amazing job. And as I said, I've had people who see my covers from across the room in a signing and come up to me just simply because the covers draw them in. So it's really, they've really worked. And I was worried because they're very different from a lot of the model covers. But they do seem to work really well for me, which is quite good.
That's sort of in between the style, because I think Caroline Cezanne's don't have any figures on at all.
No.
And the model covers. And then in between, you've got this sort of stylistic. Yeah, they look great. I think they're really capturing. So yeah, obviously it's a thing. And we should say right from the beginning that you've been very successful from the get-go.
I think so. Sometimes it's difficult to know, because some people can be quite coy about where they are and where they start. But I think, sort of briefly touching on the TikTok thing, I had quite a good viral video when my book was in pre-order, my initial book, and that led, I think it was a long pre-order, so it was about 9 months, and I put it up for pre-order before I'd finished it so I could start advertising it and people could start pre-ordering it. And I did have it, I think I put it at 99 cents, 99p, because I was like, for people to take a chance, I'm a brand new author, it was just a bit of an incentive thing I thought might work. And I think because of this TikTok and all the other things, when I released, I had 340 pre-orders, which is pretty good. So I've been told for a debut, never released a book before. And that series has done well. And then my biggest month, well, apart from recently, was when the last one in that trilogy sold, released rather. And that gave me quite a good bump. So I think I just hit the right time with the right genre. And I think because I read so much in it, I know what people were interested in. And I follow a lot of bookstagrammers and booktalkers and a lot of readers, and can see what they're after, what they get excited about. And I was able to kind of put those little elements into the book as well.
Yeah. We are going to talk about TikTok in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit more about the genre. So I did read one of the Caroline Cezanne books, curious about this whole thing. And I was honestly a little taken aback at the strength of the male dominance of the female character. And I suppose that's from being, born and raised in the 70s and 80s, there's been this feminist transformation. And as a male, you feel a little bit like that kind of porny way of men holding women's throats and all the rest of it is really kind of old school and quite dark and male. That's what I think, this is my takeaway, male. And then I'm reading this book thinking this is mainly written for a female audience, not exclusively, but mainly, but it's quite like that. That seems to be the kind of the thing. And I don't want to delve too far into people's psychology here, but I'm reading that right, aren't I? It does feel like a male, a subjugation, what's the word? You know the word I'm grappling for, of women.
Yes. I think it is. I think there is some interesting psychology there, because it's all over social media. And it is this sort of really dominant alpha male who, we kind of dabble in even sort of like the consent element and kind of, like this idea that they're this really strong kind of warrior type. And I think that seems to be really popular and seems to be what people are craving. And I think there's an interesting argument and debate there somewhere about perhaps, I don't know, society now and the fact that it became quite, I can't remember what the phrase was. They used it loads, where it was like men weren't really allowed to be really masculine. They kind of had to be a bit of both. And like, it was just sort of men were a bit afraid to be too masculine. And I think maybe it's gone the other way and women are really craving that. Certainly in their books, they're craving that kind of dominance.
Yeah. In fantasy, should probably draw a line there, because it's it's a very different thing to crave it in real life. But so maybe there's a little backlash to the kind of modern man being all sensitive and kind and something there. But anyway, the books do very, very well. which is great. And I enjoyed the book hugely. It was fun and it was a good story. It was just it piqued my interest, the kind of that aspect of it. But your books, I think, are going to be very similar to that. I can see that already from the blurbs and the covers. And your audience is mainly female, but I think, like a lot of romance writers, you probably find quite a few male readers.
Yeah, I think on the whole, it's definitely mainly female, maybe sort of like 80 to 90%. But I have had the odd male reader pop up. And I think even recently I had someone email me, and he was a guy, and he said it was his 73rd birthday or something coming up. And so I sent him an ebook as a birthday present. I think it was in response to one of my automated email welcome sequence things. And I ask people questions, and they often, if it's working, they'll email me back. And I was really chuffed. I was like, oh, that's fabulous. Because I normally don't hear, normally the male readers can be quite quiet, and you don't see them even at signings, maybe a couple, but not too many. I think on the whole, it is mostly female.
I think it's actually quite quaint when I get emails as well for my automated sequence. I get particularly older people reply like it's you've written that email just for them, which of course you kind of have, and it feels slightly like they don't really understand how it works, but that doesn't matter. You reply to it as if it's a one-to-one email. That's nice, but I do get that as well. Oh, dear James, thank you so much for asking if I enjoyed your book. I've only just started it, and I get those emails every couple
it's
of
lovely.
Days. Yeah, it is nice. Okay, let's talk about TikTok then. So TikTok has been, it is good for dark romance for sure. Mm. And it was big for you all the way through your career, got you started. So how did that happen at the beginning?
So I think, I'm just trying to think back. I had a friend who he's no longer writing anymore, but he was, I think, the one that initially got me into TikTok, and he gave me quite a lot of advice. And it was when I was doing sort of more face on video, so showing my face, lip syncing, finding stuff that worked, and just playing around and doing duets and stitches and things like that. And that worked for quite a while. And then sort of as the platform develops, new trends come along. So then you had kind of like the page flip trend. And so that was also working. But I never really, up until recently, I didn't really make that correlation between, well, I suppose apart from the pre-orders, but it didn't really sink in that actually it could have such a huge effect on sales. So I sort of knew it could, but I wasn't sure how to kind of capitalize on that. And I did, there was a point where I did kind of, it sort of felt like nothing was serving and no videos were getting any views. And it was just, I sort of kind of let it slip a little bit. And then I think earlier this year, I came across Som Skepta, and she's another author. She does, I think hers is darkish. It's sort of like billionaire type romance. And she's an absolute whiz at TikTok, and she was sort of like, she just took it by storm. And she gave me a lot of advice, and she had this method called the hook and delight method. So you put a little hook about your book. So this is all just about your book. You're not showing your face, and you've got two images as a video. And then you put your hook, which draws people in. And then as the image changes, you put your delight, which is perhaps a quote or sort of the conclusion to that hook. But it's really a way of drawing a style of video that really draws people in. And you see a lot of Wattpad users doing that. And the Wattpad crowd are really good to look at for social media, because they're so on it. They're often quite young, and they just know, like, if you look at any Wattpad accounts, their videos get thousands and thousands of views every time, and people desperate for their stories. And so it was a similar sort of setup to that. And so I got back into it and was doing that. And she also sort of gave this idea that you could have more than one account, so that you could play with different things on different accounts, which obviously is obvious when you look at the TikTok platform, because when you go to it, it says add account. So
yes,
you can add more than one account. And so she really helps me with that. And then again, that kind of, it was working okay, but then it sort of tailed off a little bit. And I think that was like sort of maybe February, March time, sort of February, March, April time. And that's when I found like Bobby Kim's stuff and his particular way of doing videos, which seemed to really have a really good return, and seemed to be working quite well in terms of conversion from actual TikTok into sales. And so his videos are the slideshow style. So you have a series of photos, and so you have your introductory photo with your hook on it. So it's still got this hook. And then what you do is you have screenshots of your Kindle pages, so with highlights on. So you've highlighted certain bits in your Kindle. And of course, I'm in KU, but I can share up to 10%. So that's all fine and above board. And then at the end, you have your Amazon sale page. So it's basically a call to action. It's telling people where they can get it. It's telling them that you're on KU or not, how much it is, that kind of thing. And so I started experimenting with that style of video, and I saw, and that was just on my one account, I think, at that time, and I did see a real increase in interest, and I saw a bit of an increase in comments and things like that. And then the idea with that is that once you've kind of got your content sorted, so you've got your scenes that you know people are really interested in, and bearing in mind that most of your viewers on your videos are going to be brand new to you. So it doesn't matter if you keep repeating the same content. It's not like Instagram or Facebook where you need fresh stuff all the time, because it's the For You page. And those people often have, they're not following you. They haven't seen you before. And you just have to then match it to the right sound. And I just so happened one evening to, I think it was someone in one of his chat groups recommended this sound. And it was quite a dark sound. It was kind of about, I think it was about sort of sexual abuse and stuff. And it really fit with one of my scenes. And I thought, oh, well, I'll give that a try. And I did. And then I woke up the next morning to find I had 32,000 views overnight on that video. And that my book had jumped from, I don't know, it was like 5,000 and something to like 200 and something in the whole of the Amazon store. And it was just absolutely crazy. And I just watched it. And obviously I do the whole rinse and repeat thing. So I kept using that sound with other sort of similar scenes and other videos and kept pushing those out. And I just, that, I think that weekend, was it? It was the coronation weekend, I think. And I just watched my book just rise and rise and rise in the charts. And I watched my royalties go up. And then I was in the movers and shakers thing, and at one point I was selling more than Prince Harry at coronation weekend, which is like a little thing, but I've got a screenshot just because I was like, yes.
If you ever meet him, you can just hold up the screenshot and wave at him.
Yeah, I could, yeah. So yes, it was absolutely crazy, and that really solidified in my mind this direct correlation between a video doing well and having all these comments. And I had people telling me that they were downloading the book, and then 3 days later on videos, I had people telling me they'd read the entire series because they were so excited by it. And it was just like, it was a crazy sort of week. And I think in the end, I was sort of 71 in the Amazon store on a book that's 2 years old. So, wow. Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. And if people want to look at these videos, you said you've got more than one account, but at Rosalie is one of them.
Yes, yeah. Yes. That's one of them, yes. And it's still going despite the violations I keep getting for putting naughty stuff on TikTok.
Yeah, and that is a occupational hazard, isn't it, of romance writers in general, but I imagine Dark and Spicy in particular. So you've had a few rebukes from the
robots. Yes, a few little slaps. Okay. Yes. Well, and from, I think occasionally it gets reported, but it's tricky because our readers want that stuff.
Yes.
And so you're in this catch-22 where you try and put stuff up that's not too spicy, but that's spicy enough that it's going to engage the readers. But sometimes it clearly is too spicy, and which is fair enough. TikTok are just trying it. They don't have any age gateways at the moment. So no. I keep, every time I meet someone from TikTok, I keep suggesting they put them in.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's unpack a couple of the things that you talked about there. I think the sort of formatted videos, the idea, your first one you talked about, I think was two images, the hook and delight. So a couple of images, presumably you just use text on screen, or and then a bit of music, or do you use any voiceover in those, or?
No, so it's just text on the screen. So it would just be, I don't know, like, one of them could be like, I don't know, when he takes her to, when she, I think there was one that was really popular, it was someone's book, and it was like when she, his wife takes his credit card and spends $1 billion or something like that. And then the delight part where it switched over was something like, And the bank phones him and he says, "That's my wife, I don't care." Or so, I mean, it was much better worded than that. Yeah. But it's that idea that you it's just text on the screen and you match it to a sound that is sort of trending. And that's one of the biggest things that helped me was the sound that I picked just so happened to be on the cusp of becoming viral itself. So it brought my video up with it. And what that's one of the hardest things is finding the sounds that kind of match your vibe, because you don't want a happy, jolly sound if you've got quite a dark scene that you're trying to get across, but that also aren't too populated, but that aren't that, you know, aren't too unknown. And it becomes this thing of trying to find these sounds that are then going to push you up. And it's interesting because you'll start to see once you start looking at it, and if you, you know, you can go into the sound and see what the other videos are. The ones you know are working really well are the ones that mostly have BookTok stuff in. Because yeah. You'll be like, oh, that's a good sound. There's mostly BookTok videos, because then the algorithm's pushing it out to mostly people who are following BookTok. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, there are a couple of takeaways, I think, for people there. One is that TikTok started as a sound platform, and sound is hugely important to its algorithm. So focusing on that's really important. Secondly, excuse me, you mentioned earlier, and I've had a few videos go viral, the percentage that are not your followers is astronomical when you have a viral video. Mm. So it's 99% are for you page and tiny number go to your followers. So you're quite right to point out that unlike most social media platforms, you don't need to really focus on your followers. They will be there anyway and enjoy your content, but don't worry about repeating yourself and getting your message. Saying the same thing in 55 different ways is probably the motto for TikTok. You know, if you find a formula, rework it.
Yeah. And I think the biggest takeaway I took, certainly from Bobby's course and things, was that you switch your thinking about TikTok. And it's not, if you start thinking about it as like an advertising marketing platform rather than a social media platform, all you're doing is split testing ads. So you've got your one, say you've got one scene, like the credit card scene, and you're just reworking your hook. So you're rephrasing it in different ways, putting it in like from a slightly different point of view, or maybe a slightly different part later on in that scene. And you're just testing that. So you can, one scene can do, I mean, 10, 20 different videos, because you're just seeing, and then from that you start to see, okay, well, this hook with this scene always works really well. I always get really good reception in that. So you kind of narrow it down, and then you just start pushing that scene and that hook. And as you say, it's mostly for you page. So it doesn't matter that it's the same thing. Your followers aren't going to get bored or annoyed because they're not necessarily seeing it that much anyway. And it's just trying to get it out to new people who are like, oh, actually, that's a really good book. I want to try that. And that's where the beauty of TikTok is, it finds you new readers, like at more so, I think, than any other platform I've come across.
Completely agree with that. And do you, how many followers do you have on your main account?
I think it's like 11,000 now. Okay. It went up quite a bit. So it's not too bad, but in a way I'm not necessarily that worried about gaining followers on TikTok, because I want the new readers on TikTok rather than the followers.
And that's the point I was going to make, really, because 11,000 is not a huge TikTok account, but the clout you have and the sales it drives just show what we were talking about. It really is about For You page and getting the algorithm working for you rather than your followers. It's a different way of thinking about social media.
Yeah, for sure. And you can see, I can see the direct correlation when I check my royalties. So I can say, so for example, Rare at the weekend, I didn't really get to post much at all on TikTok because we were so busy at the times and things like that. And my royalties dipped. And I can say that's because I didn't post. And then now that we're back, started posting a bit more and they came up again. So it is really great. I can pinpoint the times when I did Babe in Oz in Sydney like a few weeks ago, and I couldn't post because it thought I was in Hong Kong or something. I don't know. It was a bit mad. And my royalties dipped quite significantly. And then as soon as I came back and started posting again, they went up. So you can track when you're posting and how much you're posting. And it's really interesting. And the thing that I do, so you can have an author hashtag, and if you track that, you can track how many views you're getting overall per day. And so then you can really see, so maybe you're like, oh, well, my videos didn't do particularly well today, but you track your hashtag and you're like, oh, actually I got 50,000 views overall. So that's why my royalties are quite good. So it's, it's an interesting platform for sure.
That's another really good tip. And someone told me that in Mallorca at the Mastermind about having a hashtag with your author name in it for tracking purposes. It sounds rather vain, doesn't it, having a hashtag with your own author name, but you are there to promote yourself. But the main reason is, you say, you can then count the number of views for that hashtag. And it is literally just your author name. Or do you have like a quirky little, because it could be anything, right, that you use to track?
It could be anything, just a sort of unique identifier. I think people say, I think it was Bobby that told me to say, do your author name, because nobody else is going to have that one. So if you put author in it and then your author name, then you know that all those videos are going to be your videos on there. If you've got like a quirky little saying or something, you could do that as well. But it's just something to track and then make a note. I've got a spreadsheet and I now do it every few days, because once you start getting over a million views, which I did, I think I'm at 2 million now overall. It's that it only counts at every 100,000. So if you're below 100,000, so for me now it's every couple of days. And I think I average between 50,000 and 70,000 views a day now. So it's worth checking. Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, that's a show. I've mucked mine up really, because I'm actually over 2 million views as well. But
oh, brilliant.
But I don't do anything like as, I'm not as focused in any way in the way that you are on your book. So I focus on military aviation and when I focus on my books, I get sales, but they're smaller and it's a smaller part of my audience. But that's disappointing, because as I'm over 2 million, I'm not going to see, because I'm dealing in smaller numbers, I probably won't see my hashtag count up very much. Anyway, I will try it. I'm going to start doing that. One of the many things on my list is to really go back and focus on TikTok, because it was really good for me in the early days when I got those big viral videos and then immediately followed up with book posts. That's how it worked for me. I think if you've had a million views on one day, which I had on a couple of days, and then the next day you do anything you do, the algorithm immediately sends it out to like 20 or 30,000 people before it even blinks, because it thinks, you know, you're on a bit of a roll. And before the algorithms notice this is just about your book, rather than it's the quirky military aviation thing I did the day before. But
Well, you could also do it straight away as well. So as soon as you hit 10K, you can start posting every hour. Like people post, I mean, averagely it's like 3 posts a day. Normally you don't want to do many more than that. But I think when my video had gone viral, I think I ended up doing about 6 posts in that day, and all of them hit and all of them served.
Wow.
Because my account was hot. So a TikTok's like, this is a really good account. The algorithm's like, this is brilliant. Loads of people are engaging on it. I'll keep pushing out this content. But I've heard people have done like 20 posts in a day, just literally every hour. The post before hit several thousand, they post again and post again. And you're capitalizing on that hotness, as it were. So you could do that.
Yeah, the hot streak. Yeah, I was slightly worried about cannibalizing views from the post that was winning at the front. But you don't think that's a danger?
I don't think so, no, because also my original posts, I'm still now getting comments and stuff on them. And that was back in, May the 7th, I think. I had 3 in the end that did really well. They're still being served. They're still being shown. So I don't think it didn't stop the previous posts, as far as I know, because they're already hot. They're already being pushed out. So I don't think it stops anything.
Well, you mentioned reverse harem, or why choose, which seems to be, because reverse harem is one of the expressions that TikTok doesn't like. So why choose is the modern one until they decide they don't like that, and then it'll be something else. Who the hell knows, might be the next expression. Is that your books? And you also mentioned billionaire. Are you billionaire, why choose, dark romance, or is that just...
So I'm definitely why choose dark romance and contemporary. I guess my Highgate series, they are rich, so they could be billionaire. My Addicted series, the Dead Soldiers duet, that one is kind of a bit more gang focused, but they're still quite wealthy. So I kind of focus quite a lot on found family. So this idea that, you know, these characters have quite a lot of trauma and their families potentially haven't been as supportive as they should have been, or they've been downright abusive. And so they kind of come together in that way. And that is quite a popular trope at the moment. And it's one that I love to read as well. You know, just a group of people who've come through loads of struggles and found each other. But I'm always why choose.
I love discovering new romance tropes. So found family.
Found family, or sometimes chosen family as well.
So this is where your friends become your sort of substitute family because your real family let you down.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. Very supportive.
Yeah.
It never stops evolving, does it? This and that. And,
no.
And I think one of the keys, clearly, one of the your keys or secrets is how deep you are into the genre.
I think so. It's what I tell sort of new people or people who perhaps are struggling. And I'm like, you have to read it a lot. You have to know, because you'll know, especially if you're reading new releases, you'll know what people are really desperate for. You'll know that all the tropes that are really popular at the moment. And I mean, I do know people who look at the, say, top 100 in romance, and they look at the tropes that are in those books, and then they sort of adjust what they're writing accordingly. But I think if you're reading it all the time, you kind of get to know the language as well, and you get to know the terms that are really popular, probably many that I can't say on air here because they're too naughty. And, you know, it just... it means that you know what readers are craving, so you can actually start to work those in your book. Like, for example, and it's a combination of reading and TikTok, the sort of touch her and we unalive you, that's a kind of trope. And then who hurt you is another sort of trope. So that's that dominant male thing. And I actually put both of those, even down to using those phrases in my latest work in progress that I'm just about to start editing, because I knew that those were hot tropes that people are looking for. And people are desperate to have more of. And then I know that when I come to do TikTok videos about them, I've already got certain hooks that I can just pull straight away from certain scenes, and that I can promote those because those are the kind of hot topics. So yeah, it's becoming a bit obsessed and completely immersed in that, in your genre, I think is like top tip, really. Yeah,
that's really good. And a ninja advanced level marketing to write. So what Hollywood films do, they'll often have scenes in there they know are going to be effectively the trailer. And the scene's built around that. They know this is going to signify very clearly the best this film's got to offer. And that's kind of what you're doing at the point of writing. You know these are going to be the marketing hooks.
Yeah, yeah. And I know another author, again, on TikTok, and she actually, and this is the next level. I'm not sure I'll ever get to this level, but she tests her hooks from her scenes before she's even written the scene. So she will test several different scene ideas with different hooks, and whichever one sticks the most, she'll put that in the book.
How is she to test them with readers?
Yeah, so she tests them on TikTok, see which ones get the most views, and see which ones people get most excited about, get the most engagement, and those are the ones that she'll then put in her book, which I think that's just... I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? You just think that's sort of next level.
Yeah. It is amazing how big dark romance is. I mean, we have E.L. James, I suppose, to thank for the modern explosion of it. But presumably it existed before 50 Shades.
I think so, because I know certainly you had, even Why Choose existed. So I remember reading, who was it? It was L.K. Hamilton. She had quite a big series. Anita Blake, she was PNR. So she had a vampire series and a sort of fairy series. And I remember reading that when I was sort of 16, 17. And so that was ages ago. I think you had the dark romance, but I think E.L. James brought it into mainstream a bit. So it became a bit like, oh, this is actually a thing that we could really, that exists and that I could find. And so she really, I remember, I think it was at, not this year's SPS, but last year's SPS, the Kalytics man, who I've forgotten his name,
Alex, he was talking. Nighthouse.
That's it. And he showed the graphs about, I think, and with popular culture, and he showed when E.L. James published and then dark romance took off. And he showed the same with Twilight. When Twilight came out, all the vampire stuff became really popular. So I think there's definitely like a direct correlation between that. So we do have her to thank for that. Oh,
well,
for sure.
She did a brilliant job. And we didn't see her this year, but she did turn up at SBS last time. Was it the year before? I can't remember anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. And your audience, I talked about them being obviously predominantly female. What demographic? Seems quite a young audience for dark romance.
Well, looking at my social graphs and things, you know, where it tells you your audience, not necessarily. I think I've got a lot of audience, readers that are kind of mid-30s to like mid-50s. Okay. So I think it's one that kind of crosses age groups quite well, because you've got the, you know, sort of middle-aged to older ladies really enjoying it. And then you've got the younger women who are sort of getting into it and really enjoying it. So I think it's quite even in terms of age range, actually.
Good. Now, beyond TikTok, are you doing anything else? Facebook ads, Amazon ads, mailing lists?
So I've got a mailing list, which I had a mailing list before, and in my great month of May, I lost it. And it was quite a large mailing list, and basically the email provider I was with thought that I'd got these emails illegally. And I couldn't prove that actually they'd been signing up for email builders and things like that. So they deleted my list. So I started a new one. So I do have a new list. It's much smaller than it was, but at least it's all organic, and I know that they've all definitely signed up for it. So I do that. So I do two emails a month. Well, my PA, wonderful PA, she does a lot for me now, so I can focus in on the writing. So we send two emails a month just with catch-ups, and I try to include sometimes like even a little sort of scene from my work in progress, or a bonus scene that I take, because I've got a Patreon as well, so I write them bonus scenes. So I'll take one of the old ones and give that to my newsletter people, just as kind of like a sort of thank you for being on my newsletter, here's something a bit special. And I do, I've obviously got Facebook groups, and I've got Instagram, and I've got somebody who now does Facebook and Amazon ads for me. Because at the time, back in May, I've got the SPS course, and it's sitting there waiting for me to do, but I just didn't have time to do it. And the advice was like, you need to start doing ads to sort of help capitalize this popularity you've got and to just maintain it a little bit. So we do ads, and I must confess, I don't understand any of it at all. It looks on the surface like I'm losing money on the Amazon dashboard, but when I compare it to my royalties, I'm making a lot more. So I think it is working.
That sounds normal for Amazon ads.
Oh, good. Because yeah. I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, this doesn't look too healthy. But then when it was like, you might want to compare your royalties. And when I did that, I was like, oh no, it's fine. That works. So, but we have quite, I think we've got the budget at like $100 a day, but it doesn't spend that at the moment. So it spends, I think, maybe about £50 a day, $50 a day. So it's not a huge amount, because I'm actually interested to see with the TikTok stuff whether that has a better conversion than ads, which I think it does in a way. I think because it's more of that organic reach, but it's how sort of maintainable that is. So yeah, there's a little bit of ads going on, but it's mostly for me up until, I didn't do any ads up until May at all, no ads at all. And that it was just being present on socials, posting. I think when I started, I set myself the goal of posting on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok once a day, every single day. And I just religiously stuck to that. The odd time I didn't manage it, but you know, I used scheduling where I could and things like that. And that has been such a help in building followers and building kind of these super fans, and you know, actually just keeping in contact with people, that I just, you know, I hadn't done any ads, and now I'm doing them, but I'm still very present on social media. I think you kind of have to be as an author, certainly an indie author.
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, TikTok clearly is the engine oil in your engine, the oil in your engine.
Yes. So,
yeah, well, that's great. Oh, dog's arrived. Someone's let the dog in. Who's let the dog in? And Taylor Swift update, I'm now 617,000. Honestly, it's going to be this time tomorrow.
Gosh.
I'm going to be at the front of this queue. I don't understand.
Oh, good luck.
So I'm recording a series of interviews today so that the listeners over the next month are going to hear the progress of this Taylor Swift queue.
But, that would be exciting.
There you go.
And then we'll know whether you get it or not.
You have to stay tuned. You'll find out in September.
Yes.
Well, there's the door. My wife's in. It's all happening. Suddenly all happening. Rosa, it's been brilliant talking to you. I mean, congratulations on your fantastic success.
Thank you.
So, so pleased for you. Your writing is obviously incredible. I always, mustn't forget to say that, because it's, you know, it's such an important part of this. And, you know, all the best marketing in the world is not going to get your book to go from one person to another unless that person loves it. So that's what's working for you. And it's such a vibrant and dynamic little community, the significant community, the Dark Romance. And I'm pleased you got to meet Caroline and Suzanne, because I think you'll side by side with them. Wouldn't surprise me in a year's time.
Oh, I hope so. That would be the goal. That would be the dream, to have a big, long queue at Rare.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. And did you say you went to a signing event in Australia?
Yes, I did. Babe. Books and Ball Gowns event organised by Tate James. She's another YChoose big author, so kind of dark. And that was pretty amazing as well. These were the sort of things I thought, oh, I might get to do in 5 years' time, and then I get to do now.
So. Wow, fantastic. And did you wear a ball gown?
I did. I wore two different ones, because it's a Friday night and then Saturday all day. And then everyone wore ball gowns. She did it very, very well in terms of the aesthetics. Was that whole Instagram, like, beautiful, everyone in ball gowns. It was all glittery. There were lots of props everywhere. There was like a throne from Game of Thrones, like one of the sword thrones. It was just, it was really well done.
That sounds such a brilliant idea.
You'll have to come in 2025.
Yeah, I'll dust down my ball gown. The readers dress up as well, presumably.
If they want to, if they don't, but everyone dresses up, it's quite special.
Who doesn't love dressing up? Rosa, thank you so much indeed for coming on. Let's stay in touch and follow your progress as you grow and grow, as I'm sure you will. And I think people will be checking you out on TikTok, but @RosaLee is the place to go for that.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's been fab.
This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Okay, there we go. There's Rosa Lee. It really lends itself to TikTok, dark romance, and spicy romance generally. I suppose, I don't really know why. Is it because TikTok's a slightly more fruity environment, I'm going to use that expression, or is it because they are authors focusing their efforts there because they struggle to very clearly advertise their wares using Facebook ads, and most of them, and Rosa was no exception, have had their ads accounts suspended on numerous occasions in the past. I don't know whether it's what the chicken and egg situation is there.
But I think it might be that their audience naturally gravitates towards TikTok. That would be my guess, is that that is the most popular of the social media platforms for people who like those kinds of books. Seems most likely to me. But anyone's questioning the power of TikTok, I sent you a link the other day of this old geezer in the States who was at a book signing, and he looked a bit glum, and someone went up to him and said, asked what he was doing, and said, like, I'm not selling many books. So this guy bought a book and said, like, I'm on TikTok. I'll do a video to promote you. And I think he didn't strike me as like a mega influencer. It wasn't like he had, millions of followers, but he had some. But then this guy, the TikTok went viral, millions of views, and he hit number one in the entire Amazon store. So he would have made thousands and thousands of dollars with a book that did, looking at it, you would say, and it's, without being too uncharitable about it did not deserve to be at number one in the store. It had a fairly amateurish cover. I think he was probably, he was a writer. He enjoyed writing, and he was trying to sell as many books as he could. And then he just got caught up in the TikTok juggernaut and was at number one for not just for a few minutes. I think he was number one for a few days, which
because you sent me that the day after it happened, and it was still at number one when I looked. It's a feel-good story, isn't it? It's going to be a Richard Curtis film. Well, I can imagine him going home in the evening and typing in TikTok and probably spelling it wrong and trying to work out what is this thing that's happened to me. But that does underline the power of that platform at the moment. And we've talked a lot about it in two interviews I've recorded today. So with Rosa, we talked about it. She made some really good points, really good takeaways for using TikTok. And one of which it's not follower focused TikTok. Your posts that do well on what's called the For You page. So it's the algorithm working on your behalf to find you. It's what's so good at finding new readers. Doesn't really matter so much about your followers, your follower count, or how many see your videos. And there are several other golden nuggets in there from her. Anyway, really, really good to speak to her. I know you've got another meeting. That's international hand signal if you're watching on YouTube, for Mark has to go. But that is it, I think, from us this week. Thank you very much indeed for everyone who helps put this together and for you to listen. All that remains for me to say is just goodbye from him.
And I've got another international hand signal for you, and it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Bye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.